Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Today marks the last day of our You Asked For It series. And a little while ago, somebody asked me to talk about childlike faith or simple faith. And it's really as I unfolded that thought, I came across this passage and I thought, this is a really interesting little talk. It's probably a passage that we've read several times before, and I want to I'm pleased that I'm able to expound on this today. So beginning the first four verses of chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." That's as far as we'll read. So the disciples in today's text are talking about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this isn't the only place in Scripture where the disciples are talking about this. In Mark chapter 10, the disciples are actually arguing about this, where you may remember the story where James and John and their mom come up to Jesus, and mom says to Jesus, "Lord, have one of my boys be on your right and the other on your left when your kingdom comes." It really doesn't surprise us a whole lot that the other disciples have a problem with that, does it? It really doesn't surprise us because we understand where the disciples are coming from. The other disciples had a real problem with James and John after that. They were indignant toward them, says the text in Mark. Meaning that they were pretty frustrated with them. They didn't like them a whole lot at that moment. And Jesus told them at that in Mark, as well as in Mark, he tells them, "You're not getting it. It's not for you to choose this place." And in Matthew today, you can just imagine with me, the disciples are standing around talking with one another. Now, we're on the campsite talking this week. For those of us who are there, hello, those of you who are online watching right now. We're on the campsite talking, and we're sort of in a circle. And so I can imagine this same scenario. You're sort of standing in a sort of a circle, and you're talking amongst one another. And then the discussion gets a little bit heated because people are talking, who's going to be greater? And one disciple could say, "Well, I'm going to be greater because I was the first one that was called." And that would, of course, be Andrew, right? Or maybe Judas would say, "Well, I'm going to be the first in the kingdom of heaven because I'm the one that they trust with all the money. So I'm the one that they trust the most." Or Peter would stand up and say, "Well, I'm the one who walked on water. So I'm the one." Or maybe James and John, they would chime in again and say, "Well, we walked up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus." So you understand how they can sort of try to claw at each other a little bit and try to one-up themselves over one another. And I just imagine, maybe this didn't happen this way, but I just imagine Jesus sort of stepping out of the circle and catching the image of a little child. Now, when the text says little child here. The word is paideion. So I'm showing how smart I am by telling you the Greek word, paideion. Yeah, that's what 3 years of seminary did for me. And paideion really means little child, so like an infant or a little bit older, but not like a 10-year-old, not a 10, 11-year-old child, a small child, maybe a year or two. And I could just see Jesus gesturing for this child, come here, and making sure that it's okay with the parent, of course, come here, and grabbing the child by the hand, and bringing the child into the middle of the group as the group just sort of settles down and stops arguing and wonders what Jesus is doing. And Jesus would just stand there and say, unless you become like one of these, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if you caught it, but the disciples already figured that they were in. They assumed that they were in the kingdom of heaven. They were arguing over who was going to be first. They were talking about who's going to be first. And Jesus says, unless you change and become like one of these children, become like children yourself, you'll not enter. You won't even get in unless you're like this. So what is Jesus saying here? Is Jesus saying, well, we all got to become children again? Or we all got to become childlike again? Or we all got to become childish? You know, I'm reminded of the passage in John 3:16, in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes up to Jesus and he talks to Jesus about entering the kingdom, and talks to Jesus about kingdom stuff. And Jesus tells him, unless you're born again, that's a different thing. Unless you're born again. And Nicodemus questions him. He says, what do you mean? Do I need to be born again? I need to go back in my mother's womb? And he's saying, no, that's not it. And same with Jesus is telling us here. You don't have to become children again. You need to adopt what it means to be childlike. Meaning, you need to have that innocence again, that humility again. And so as I was considering this passage this week, I thought about who else? I thought about my grandchild. Yes, I'm a grandfather, and I'm proud of it. And I'm happy, and I love my grandchild. And I'm going to, you know, you may get sick of hearing this, but I'm going to say it a lot because it's true. And I know grandparents out there, and I see some of you here with us right now, you're happy that you have grandchildren. And for the most part, anyway. And the thing about being a grandchild or a grandfather, grandmother, or an aunt or an uncle is that you get to step out of the immediate family nucleus and you get to peer in and look at what's going on. And you get to see, you know, the trouble that the kids are giving the parents every now and then, which is sort of fun, isn't it? Admit it. And you get to see how the kids are growing up. And it's something that you've long forgotten. And so you see how your children are growing up, or your grandchildren are growing up, or your nephews and nieces are growing up. And you get to peer in, and then you get to step out of it, and then you get to come back in again and take another look and step out of it. And it usually puts a smile on your face. And I have that experience right now. And so from that, I am starting to see a few things that my grandson, young Timothy, is portraying as a child, as a young child, a paideion. First of all, Tim's fearless. He has no fear. He doesn't know what risk is. He doesn't know what falling down is about, really. He doesn't know what the problems are, the dangers that are around. And so he'll climb up on the coffee table, say, and he'll sit up right on the edge of the coffee table and sort of teeter-totter right on the edge of that. And, you know, I know a certain woman who happens to be here in this building who goes, right, like that. But he doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him. He's fearless. Everything that Tim does, and every time you see him, he's always full of awe. Like he's looking around and going, wow, that's new. Wow, that's new. Wow, that's new. Everything is new. And you go away and you come back a little while later, and then he says, wow, that's new. He sees you all over again. Everything is full of awe for the boy because he hasn't seen everything yet. Tim's also full of energy. You know, kids generally are full of energy, aren't they? But Tim's also full of energy. He gives it all he's got. He's all in, giving it all he's got all the time. Full energy into everything he does. Now, that may be just climbing over top of you to get to where he wants to be. But he's all in. He's determined, and he's getting it done. And then when he falls down, he's all about sleep. And then he wakes up again, and he's all energy again. That's Tim. And that's many kids. Tim also laughs and cries. And you say, well, all young kids laugh and cry. But Tim hasn't developed yet that need to suppress his emotions so much. He doesn't need to clam up. He doesn't think that way. Not yet. And so we take real enjoyment in watching him as he laughs and even sometimes as he cries, because he is open. He's an open book. And it's easy to see his emotional side. And that's what's so beautiful about that in him too. Tim is curious as well. He's curious. Of course, children generally are curious. They get into things. They're exploring new things all the time. When I was a kid, I was given a rock. Here, play with the rock. But now kids are given, you know, shapes and toys with all sorts of lights on it and sounds. And it's all made to help them learn. And so he's all about learning and being curious with that. And because he's curious, he starts to explore. And so he goes and he crawls into the kitchen, or now he's starting to walk. So he may walk into the kitchen and he'll pull out all the pots and pans out of the cupboard, trying to get to the back of the cupboard. And then his parents will put it all back and then he'll pull them all out again. But he's exploring. He's using his gifts as he explores. Tim is also, though, very forgiving. Very forgiving, as many children are. They've developed that he doesn't know to hold a grudge. Tim doesn't know that. It's all about being forgiving. It's all about, hey, I'm glad to see you. Yes, you may have wronged me 5 minutes ago, but it doesn't matter now because I'm happy to see you now. Think of that in your life. If we were to develop that in our lives, if we were to truly be this in our world today, we would turn the world on its head, wouldn't we? You know that we are living in an upside down world, right? The whole world is upside down. Now, many of us may say, well, it's been upside down because of COVID. COVID turned everything upside down. No, the world was upside down for a very, very long time before COVID came on the charts. The world's been turned upside down ever since the Garden of Eden. The world was created right side up. And then we sinned, human beings. And when we sinned, we turned the world upside down. And we've been living in this upside down world for so long now that living upside down seems to be the normal. It's the normal way of living. And so when we see things that Jesus teaches and that he's talking about becoming like children again, like having childlike faith, he's actually showing us what the right side up way of doing things is, God's way of doing things. And it's totally foreign to us. And so Jesus is telling us in the text today, you must become like this child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the child's attributes are innocence, our fearlessness, our being full of awe, our being full of energy, of showing who you are and not suppressing who you are. This world has a way of teaching us how to be so callous and crass, but that's not God's way. God's way is openness and honesty and forgiveness and love. The world's way is like this. God's way is like this. You see? And so just imagine with me for a moment how we could turn the world on its head if we were to truly live with childlike faith. Truly live with a simple faith, how we could turn the world on its head. Imagine as a church just being energized by your fellow believers who come on in and see you as you are. You're children, just like they are children. We are children of God. And we are full of awe to see each other. And we are so forgiving and so loving towards one another. Imagine how that looks, how that feels. Imagine everybody else watching from outside and going, hey, they look upside down to us. When actually, we're right side up. And they're the ones that are upside down. Imagine the openness, the honesty, the forgiveness that can happen when we live with childlike faith. No more holding grudges. No more of this negativity. Just coming together. Something like the first church did. Something like the early church did. Way after Jesus ascended. After Jesus ascended, we get an idea in Acts chapter 2 of what the church looked like, where they were just being together. Imagine being the church that explores the newness of what God's got to show us all the time. Imagine that. This is the newness of what God, we will live in awe all the time. Imagine what we could do with this beautiful, awe-inspiring, childlike faith as we go with full energy into things, jumping both feet in, not caring about anything, not caring where we're going to land, because we know that God's got us. Imagine what we could do when we peel away the scars that sin has given to us. We open ourselves up to what God wants to show us. Is this impossible? Is this pie in the sky stuff that I'm talking about? No, it's not. It's truly not. You and I are on a path to holiness. As we allow God to work in our lives, to work in our own lives as individuals, but in our lives as a church as well, as we allow God to do that, he works on us in such a way He works on us in such a way that we are ever more increasingly, even if it is just a little bit at a time, ever more increasingly becoming like him, like Christ. That's what it means to be on the path to holiness. We're changing. Just as Jesus says to the disciples, unless you change. Well, the disciples did change, didn't they? They learned how to become, especially after Jesus died, and after they went through that trial, they learned how to become Christ-like. And that's how the church got started. You know, we are on a path to holiness. It's only through Christ, it's only by relying on him that we can even start this. What a blessing it is. It's simple faith. It's going back and just trusting that God has it. It's not difficult, but it's what we are called to do. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you once again that you have shown us your word, that you have given us some ideas around that word, Lord. We thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you would show us what childlike faith and what it means to have childlike faith truly within our own lives, what that's about. It's not being a kid again. It's not being childish, God. It's adopting that right side up mentality that you created at the very beginning of you living with us and in us. Help us as we adopt that and be with us and make us more holy for you. We pray in Jesus. Amen.